How do we define a person who is in Christ Jesus? This is something that we must know in order to assess our own condition and obtain a proper view of professing Christians. This is an area in which human opinion is not allowed, for God has spoken on this subject, and there's no room for any thought or word that contradicts what He said. The particular statement that will be our foundation for this message is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The New International Version reads, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. The Amplified Bible reads, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. First of all, let's clarify what we are talking about. The text begins with the word, therefore, which means this is a kind of conclusion that is drawn from a previous statement. It represents divine reasoning or illuminated understanding. The affirmation upon which this verse is founded is stated in the two preceding verses. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. 2 Corinthians 5:15 and 16. Now this is a statement of things as they are. First, Jesus died for all in order that they should no longer live for themselves. That is, so they themselves would not be the center of their attention. Their personal aims and objectives would no longer be the reason for living. Rather, the aim is for the people to live unto the one who died for them and rose again from the dead. That is, they would live for him, seeking to please him and forfeiting their own wills for his will. Any other kind of living is totally unacceptable. This is not the kind of life where men seek for Jesus to give them what they themselves have conceived or things that they feel are the best for them and will make them the happiest. Their solitary aim is now to please him, obtain what he has appropriated for them, and realize the purpose he's determined for them. In view of this, those who are living in that manner know no man after the flesh. That is, they do not regard them from a worldly point of view. They do not see people as a means to realizing their own self-conceived objectives. They do not see people as those who can be exploited for personal advantage. They now see them as God sees them. If they are not in Christ, people are seen as lost, without God and without hope in the world. They are seen as sheep who've gone astray, having no shepherd. If they are in Christ, they're seen as brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow heirs, and the sons and daughters of God. The text also says that they do not see Jesus after the flesh. They do not see him primarily as he was seen when he walked among men. They do not think of him as a mere outstanding teacher, although he was certainly that. They do not see him as fundamentally a miracle worker, although he was surely that. Neither indeed do they see him as the answer to their problems, although that may very well be the case. Jesus is rather seen as primarily the Son of God, doing the will of God, sitting at the right hand of God, and interceding for his people with God. Now those are the statements upon which our text is based. They are two sides of the coin of redemption. First, that the purpose of God is for us to live for Jesus. Second, that we do not look at people or Jesus himself from a worldly point of view. The people of God, the real people, do not embrace a psychological or philosophical view of men. Neither indeed do they embrace a philosophical or even a theological view of Jesus that has been conceived by men. It is in view of this that everyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. It is not that they ought to be a new creation. That is what they are, a new creation. That is, they've been recreated by God and are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. They've been begotten by God, 1 John 5:18. Born of God, 1 John 5:4. And put into Jesus by God Himself, 1 Corinthians 1:30. These are the people who are said to have been born again, 1 Peter 1:23. They've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13. They're in Christ, having been, according to Galatians 3:27, baptized into Christ and put on Christ. Those in Christ are described as walking or living not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8:1 and 4. Here the issue is not who is in the church, although everyone who is in Christ is in fact in the church, neither indeed are we talking about how they got into Christ, although everyone got in the same way. Our text is talking about the evidence of being in Christ, the proof of it. The Lord will not allow men to simply take for granted that they're in Jesus. There must be some evidence that this is, in fact, the case. If being in Christ is a real condition, then it will have some real evidence or certification. If the required evidence is lacking, the claim of the person is not to be taken as true. If what is represented as being of God does not have the characteristics assigned to it by God, then the representation is not to be taken as true, regardless of how persuasively it might be presented. It is God's manner to always accompany reality with evidence, or something that distinguishes the person or circumstance to be genuine. If God sends Moses to lead the children of God out of Egypt, He will provide some evidence that Moses is the man. As confirmed in Exodus 4:4, He will throw down His rod and it will become a serpent. He will catch the snake by the tail and it will become a rod in His hand. As declared in Exodus 7:6 and 7, Moses will thrust his hand inside his cloak, take it out, and it will be leprous. He will thrust it inside his cloak again, remove it, and it will turn again as his other flesh. Moses will have proof that he was sent from God. When Jesus came into the world, He was accompanied by evidence that proved He was from God. It is written in Acts 2:22 that He was approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which He did in the presence of the people. The crowning sign that He was from God was His resurrection from the dead, in which He was, according to Romans 1:4, declared to be the Son of God with power. See, it is God's manner to grant confirmation that He is the one who both sends and works. And what evidence does the God of heaven present concerning those who are in Christ Jesus? It is simply this: they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. These people do not maintain their old habits. Old things have passed away. They do not think the way they used to think. Old things have passed away. They do not talk the same way. Old things have passed away. They do not look at things the same way. Old things have passed away. They do not prefer the same things. Old things have passed away. They do not do the same things. Old things have passed away. They do not have the same kind of friends. Old things have passed away. They do not even look the same. Old things have passed away. They do not have their old view of the Bible. Old things have passed away. They do not like the same things or go the same places or hang out with the same crowds. Old things have passed away. When their sins were taken away, the love for sin left also. When they were freed from the shackles of the devil, He did not lead them anymore. When they were brought out of darkness, they no longer were unable to see or understand the things of God. They were no longer incapable of detecting what was wrong. Everything became new, fresh, and filled with hope. They saw things differently. Now they could more readily detect danger as well as advantage. They were more aware of the truth as well as the lie. They could see opportunities more readily as well as traps and snares. All things became new. The Bible became a new book to them. God's Word was seen as food instead of a mere instruction manual. Jesus was seen as a leader as well as a Savior and an intercessor as well as a perfect man. Everything became new. Now life in this world is seen as a time of preparation for the next world, and the things of this world are seen as things that cannot be held and must eventually be released. Everything becomes new. Satan is seen as one who can be overcome. Heaven is seen as one's ultimate destiny. The world is seen as an entire order that's passing away. Everything has become new. The church is seen as the body of Christ. Life itself is perceived as a means of bringing glory to God. Everything has become new. But what of the person who says they're a Christian, yet maintains their old way of life? What if they talk the same way and act the same way? What if they have the same preferences and like the same things? What can we say of such a circumstance? We can say what is the truth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But what if the person says we have no right to judge them, and that they really are something they do not appear, that they really love the Lord with all the heart? What shall we say then? Well, we will say what God has said. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If what God has said is true, then it is, then those in Christ are walking in newness of life, Romans 6:4. Then they're serving God in newness of spirit, Romans 7:6. There is such a thing as a new man, which is to be put on, Ephesians 4:24. Now we really do have a new and living way that leads to God, Hebrews 10:20. The people of God are looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, 2 Peter 3:13. There is such a thing as a new song, Psalm 33:3 and Revelation 5:9. There is such a thing as a new heart and a new spirit, Ezekiel 36:26. There are newborn babes in Christ, 1 Peter 2:2. There is such a thing as new and fresh life that's appropriately described as rivers of living water flowing out from the inmost part of man, John 7:38 and 39. There is a newness of life that is like an erupting well within that issues forth like a well of fresh and reviving water, John 4:10 and 11. All things do become new in Christ Jesus. Old things that once enslaved the individual do pass away, powerless to hold them any longer. New things, once beyond their reach, come within their grasp and can be realized with all of their accompanying power and satisfaction. The exceeding great and precious promises can become the means through which we are made partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. We can actually be more like Jesus than like Adam, Romans 5:12-19. The law of God can be loved instead of dreaded, Psalm 119:97. A person can be brought to the point where they joyfully confess, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord," 2 Corinthians 5:8. Insightfully and with great joy, the person who's in Christ Jesus confesses, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1:21. It is now possible for those in Christ to stand against the wiles of the devil and to overcome him triumphantly. Ephesians 6:11 and 1 John 5:4. See, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is not the way it ought to be. That is the way it is. That is not a goal to be achieved. It is an experience to be realized. The only issue is whether or not you are in Christ. If you are, the things I've spoken describe who you are and what you've experienced. In all of the Bible, there are three texts in which the expression "into Christ" is used. This is true of any major version of the Bible. Two of these texts speak of getting into Christ, and one of them speaks of growing up into Him. The first is found in Romans 6:3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" The second is found in Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." The third is found in Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Now I will tell you that men, churchmen, are prone to argue about these texts. Some will say that the baptism of reference really is not necessary, or that it is unrelated to being baptized with water, as Peter commanded in Acts 10:47 and 48. Still others imagine that the baptism of reference is speaking only of what is done outwardly. However, this cannot be true, for we are also said to have been baptized by one Spirit into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. The truth of the matter is that both are involved, and well ought you to praise God because they are. The unseen baptism performed by the Spirit is the one by which you are actually put into Christ Jesus Himself. It accompanies the outward baptism, which is the means through which you appeal to God for a cleansed conscience, as affirmed in 1 Peter 3:21. Listener, you must now examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Are you in Jesus Christ? If your answer is yes, then present the evidence. Confirm by your life that you are, in fact, a new creation, that old things have passed away and everything has become new. That evidence will bring joy to you and confidence to your own heart and refreshment to all those who are also in Christ Jesus. Present the evidence, listener. Present the evidence.